Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the chance to be together this morning. And God, we thank you for a great service we've already experienced. Father, I pray you'll be with me as we look into your word and that our hearts will be open and sensitive. God, we'll hear what we need to hear. God, and that we'll be changed. God, that we'll be impacted and affected today by your word. And it's in your name that I pray, Jesus. Amen. Let's give Carla another hand for a great job. Good morning. We welcome you here and those in the depot and those who are watching online. Hope you've had a great week. Got a few housekeeping things real quick. If you helped with To Rust and With Love Wednesday night, in any capacity, would you stand at this point? Would you stand? You know if you did or didn't. Stand up, please. Stand up. Would you give these folks a hand? We had a fantastic night, over 600. I think 632 was the final count. And Jeremy McGee and Russ did a wonderful job in leading us. It was a great night. Also, we try to recognize our ministers' anniversaries every month. And Josh, who is in the sound booth, is at 14 years this month here at First Baptist. Isn't that wonderful? And Pam, our preschool minister, who is either on vacation or locked in the children's building somewhere, is at year 7, which is fantastic. So give Pam a hand and give Josh and Pam a hug when you get a chance. You know what Thursday is? You need to. It's what? Thanksgiving. Johnny Carson. Everybody in this room remembers Johnny Carson. He's kind of the granddaddy of the modern-day late-night comedian, I guess you would say. Johnny Carson said Thanksgiving is the holiday where people will travel halfway around the world to see people that they only see once a year, and then they realize once a year is too much. Hope that's not how you feel, but Thanksgiving has a... It's not unique to America, but it is unique in America. And in fact, from our very inception, the holiday of Thanksgiving has been a part of us. You remember quickly in 1620, the pilgrims came over from England. They made a mistake and landed in the winter months up in Massachusetts, and many of them died. They froze, they starved to death. But the next year, with the help of the Native Americans, some of them had survived, and they thrived a little bit, and they threw the first Thanksgiving celebration, a three-day party of football, fellowship, and food and fun. About 50 of the English and 90 Native Americans. 1789, President Washington, George Washington, declared a national day of Thanksgiving, and in the Civil War, 1863, Abraham Lincoln set aside a day for Thanksgiving. But it finally... In 1941, now I want you to think about this, in the last 80 years, our U.S. Congress has gotten one thing right. They set aside the fourth Thursday of November to be celebrated as Thanksgiving. You know, this morning we're closing out our series Face to Face, and I wanted to bring it together with a face to face with you and God and a face to face with the people in your life. Because you are face to face with God day in and day out, and you will be Thursday. You're face-to-face with people this morning, and you certainly will be on Thursday. And so I want us to really look at being thankful. And that's what I want to begin with this morning, is just be very thankful. If you take away nothing else this morning, I'm going to try to build a case for that, but be a very thankful person. We are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, it'll be in there somewhere. Right after 1 Thessalonians. Amen. Thank you, Tony. I'm going to read these while you're looking, or they'll be on the screens. Paul, Silvanus, that's Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from our God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians is kind of interesting, was written shortly after 1 Thessalonians, not a big break there. We believe that God used the Apostle Paul to write it from Corinth, and it's possibly one of the two or three earliest New Testament letters that were written. It was probably written somewhere about AD 50 to 52, that's 15 to 17 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so it's a pretty early letter. If you go home today and you look, and I hope you do take notes and you can write this down, Acts chapter 17 is the story where Paul goes into Thessalonica. He has a great ministry there, and it's so great they run him out of town pretty quickly, but he's able to establish a church and to get some people going. Thessalonica was a thriving city. Now, I want to show you on a map. Thessalonica is still around today. This is the old Thessalonica, an old biblical times map. But let's look at a modern map, too. It's Thessaloniki today. It is in modern-day Greece. And there's you can see Athens is right down here. And in Macedonia, we've gone on several mission trips there. Italy's right over here. But it's modern-day Thessaloniki. But the ancient city was a major metropolitan area, 200,000 people. It was a port city. It was also a military city, which would be good and bad for a lot of people. It sat on the Via Ignatia. You can go home today to say, I learned something in church, the Via Ignatia. That'll sound important. That's Latin for the Roman road. It was a major Roman highway that Thessalonica sat on. And Paul's addressing these people. He loves them, but there's problems there. There's confusion about the second coming that he's going to try to set straight. By the way, he didn't set people straight because we're still confused about it 2,000 years later, aren't we? We just believe he's coming. They had some practice problems. The way they were behaving, he was fixing to get on to them. But they were also suffering. They were taking a beating for their faith, maybe literally and physically, but certainly emotionally. And he's going to want to encourage them. And he starts with this theme of being thankful. And let me lay out a couple of things he shows us, principles that are timeless for them and for you and me. Number one, thank God. Thank God. I don't mean like thank God. I mean thank God. Look in verse 3. We ought to always give thanks to God. The words here are significant. The word ought means we must do this. We owe a personal our moral debt here. You and I owe a personal and moral debt to God in 1,000 ways, but in the ways he's talking about here, we do. We must do this. It's not optional for people who are trying to please God. We ought to thank him always. We must do this always, forevermore, and in the rest of our lives. And I think a lot of heaven's going to be praising and thanking God. When he says we give thanks, it's an action verb. It's something we do, not just something we say, oh, he knows my heart. It's something we do, and the word thanks is a beautiful word. Listen to what it means. It's the good response. We're pretty good at getting the bad response, aren't we? We're pretty good at giving the advice and the criticism, but we're not as good at giving the good response. It's a good response that expresses itself in thanksgiving and blessing. Our English word of thanksgiving is the idea of thinking, realizing, and expressing. Thanksgiving has not happened until all three of those things have happened. We think, we realize, we express. God says we, in the word here, we owe forevermore a debt of God to be thankful. Being thankful again means to, what we're talking about today is express it. Express it. Don't hold on to that silly myth, God knows my heart. I'm going to blow that out of the water in a little bit, showing you another passage in the New Testament. God does know your heart, but God wants you to express your thanksgiving. Now, I know today that there are people that will be here, that are here, that will be here in the second service, that are watching online or at the depot who've had bad years, had bad things happen. Been bad things happen in my family. Bad things happen in your family. Sad things, heartbreaking things. And when that happens, we tend to pull away from being thankful when we probably ought to push ourselves even more to be thankful. It's interesting, in the year 1620 to 1621, the pilgrims made 7 times more graves than huts. But they were the first ones to initiate a Thanksgiving. It was in the middle of the American Civil War, the bloodiest conflict in American history, that President Abraham Lincoln said, we need to set aside a time for Thanksgiving. I might submit to you today, if this has been a bad year and a hard year and a hard time, you need to do this even more than anybody else. We need to give thanks to God specifically. Yes, Thursday, set aside time to thank God. But I hope if you're a Christian, you have a prayer time every day, and part of that should be thanking God. Thank God throughout the day. Thank God when he blesses you. Thank God when good things come to your mind that he's done for you. But thank God. Here's the second thing he shows us in here. Thank God for other people. Thank God for others. You ever thought about that? Some of you are going, what do I have to be thankful for? If you're here today, you got a lot of things to be thankful for. If you're able to watch or listen online, you have things to be thankful for. He says in verse 3, we ought to always give thanks to God for you. Thank God for people. I read this week, and you know this is true, and I've read it before, and so many of you have heard it 1,000 times. Your greatest asset is not your buildings or your bank accounts. It's your people. It's your people. You're wondering, what should I be thankful for? Start with a list of people in your life who have blessed you and helped you and benefited you, and that'll keep you busy for a while. Thank God for the people that he's put in your life and that he's blessed you with. Here's the third thing, and this is kind of interesting. Let people know you thank God for them. Let people know you thank God for them. Now, is it okay to walk up to somebody and say, I thank God for you? Well, if you do it, if you're lying, don't do that. But this is even a little more than that. And everything we're talking about here is founded in being sincere and being real. Listen, it's not about being flattering. It's not about yourself, so people will think you're a nice person or a good person. But we thank God, and we thank God for others. And what a neat concept to let people know, I thank God for you. In verse 3 again, we always give thanks to God, brothers, because it's right. Your faith is growing abundantly. The love of everyone for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast about you and the churches of God. We're going to look at that in more detail in just a second. When was the last time you went up to somebody and you weren't lying, you weren't being Christian, you were being sincere, and you said, you know what, I thank God for you. I thank God for you. My life's better because of you. Now, if I was to ask you, when was the last time you criticized somebody or gossiped about somebody or had a complaint? And there's a time for legitimate complaints and concerns, absolutely, but that doesn't need to be the heartbeat of your life. Man, thank God for other people and let them know you thank God for them. Here's the fourth thing, a principle we draw from this. Thank them. Thank them. In all of this, Paul is thanking the Thessalonian people for them. And again, I think all of this, the more specific we are with God, the more specific we are with others, the better it is. Let's look at verse 3 in specifics. We give thanks to you. We should. It's right. Your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Leave that on the screens just for a moment, Kara. When it says your faith is growing, he's talking about your faith is blooming like a plant in season that's just ever increasing. And when he says their faith is growing, he's not talking about their knowledge. Oh, you can win arguments. You can win biblical trivia. No, he's not talking about. He's talking about how they live their Christian life. He's saying, listen, you guys live your life for Christ, and it's increasing, and how you are being Christ-like. And man, I'm thankful to God for that, and I'm thankful for you for that. Your love is ever increasing. That word increase is like a river overflowing its banks, and the word love there is that biblical word agape, that active, choosing to show love to other people. He said, listen, I thank God specifically for these things, and I'm thanking you. Thank you that you live out your faith and it's growing. Thank you that your love is increasing. Look in verse 4. We ourselves boast about you in the churches of God for your steadfastness in faith and all of your persecutions and the afflictions that you are suffering. Persecutions mean to be pursued. It's facing hostility. Afflictions means trial or grief or being crushed. He says, you guys are enduring these. You're holding up well. What had happened? These people had come to Jesus Christ. And many of them were Jewish people, and their Jewish family members and friends were not happy with them at all. So they were persecuting them. The non-Jewish people were persecuting them. They lived in a military town, and the military was noticeably and known for being oppressive to people. We don't have record that they were being killed in Thessalonica for their faith, but they were being abused and pushed to the wayside and verbally abused. And I don't know about you, I don't want my fingers cut off, but it's not fun being slandered and gossiped and talked about either. And he says to them, I am so thankful to God and to you that you're staying strong in the midst of the struggle. Do you realize this is what we need to be doing to people? I know you can find 15 bad things about everybody, correct? Some of you are gifted at that, right? Can you find two good things about somebody and thank God and thank them for it? Sure you can. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, and that person who drives you crazy in class, the day after class, you can say, thank you for only interrupting me 8 times. I appreciate that. Some of you I look at and I say, thank you for not sleeping today or not snoring today when you slept. Thank you. You can find something to be thankful for, but be specific and thank people. I want to challenge you this Thursday, do it. I want to challenge you today, do it. Write the note. Did you know you can still use a pen and a paper and write? Text somebody. Send them an email. Call them. It's easier today to communicate than it's ever been. Thank people for how they blessed you. Be as specific as you can. How many people are you overlooking in your life that have done stuff for you? Charles Plum was a Navy pilot during the Vietnam War. He was on a battleship, sent on a mission. He'd been on a number of missions, but on this particular mission, he was shot down. He parachuted to safety, but he was captured by the North Vietnamese. He spent 6 years in prison as a POW. Thank God he survived, and when the war was over, he was released, and years later, he was in a restaurant. And a man walked up to him and said, hey, you're Lieutenant or whatever Plum. He said, yes, I am. He said, yeah, you flew on this particular mission off this ship, and you were shot down, and you spent 6 years. And Plum said, this guy knows way too much information. He says, who are you? He said, oh, I was just a sailor on the ship, and I'm assuming pilots are here, and probably the regular sailors are down here. And Plum asked him, he said, what did you do? He goes, well, I packed your parachute the day that you had to parachute out. He said, you what? He said, I was the guy that packed your parachute. Charles Plum looked at him. He goes, you saved my life. And the guy kind of shrugged his shoulder and said, I guess I did, and walked off. Charles Plum said, I couldn't sleep the rest of that night. He said, how many times did I walk past that guy, big time that guy, ignored that guy? That was the guy packing my stinking parachute that saved my life. Thank people. Thank people. Thank people. And he gives us one other little thing here that's pretty cool. Brag on them. Brag on people. Verse 4, therefore we ourselves boast about you. Being honest, being sincere, not being a flatterer. You thank God for people. You thank God specifically for people. You thank them. You thank them specifically. By the way, I let them know I thank God for you. And brag on them. Talk good about them. Be sincere, but build them up. Talk about them behind their back in a good way. We call that good gossip. You want to know how to affect people one or two ways in a very powerful way. Talk about them behind their back and let them hear about it. If it's bad gossip, it's devastating, isn't it? But you know how rewarding it is when it gets back to you, somebody was talking about you behind your back in a good way? Brag on people. Build them up. Do it today. Do it Thursday. Make this a pattern of your life. And let me tell you something that's really, really, really cool. These are such powerful practices for life. Man, these are such positively practical practices. So powerful. When you decide to get in a life zone of being truly grateful to people, face-to-face with God, face-to-face with others, it's life-changing. Here's the first thing. It surely pleases God. Man, how many of you want to please God? I don't know if I always am, but I want to tell you, I know a day of reckoning's coming. And I want to stand before God, bow before God shaking, and at least hope that I have pleased him some. You know how, you want to know how to please God? Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hold that there just a second. You want to know what God's will for your life is? One is to be thankful. That doesn't say be thankful for everything, but be thankful in all circumstances. Some things are evil, bad, wicked, and terrible. You don't thank God for those. But in the midst of the horrible things, there's so much to be thankful for. But look in verse 19. Do not quench the spirit. That has to be tied in contextually to each other. So people who are ingrates, who are Christians, quench the spirit of God. We bless God when we are thankful people. You walk in some churches, it's like going to a funeral. And that's not us. Thank God. Church should be a celebratory place. You deal with the hardest issues, but it's a praise God and a thankful place. Look this up when you get home. Luke 17. Luke 17 is the story of Jesus healing 10 lepers. I guarantee you it's being preached in half of the churches in the world today. It's a great story. And Jesus heals 10 people, not 10 lepers. He's not like at the zoo healing animals. You get my humor? No? Okay. Y'all are off this morning. Or I'm off. It's y'all. You guys are off. He heals 10 with this horrible, life debilitating disease. It's walking dead. One comes back to thank him, and it's a Samaritan, the enemy of the Jewish people. And Jesus did not say, read it for yourself. Jesus didn't say, I know their heart. They mean well. All's good. Jesus said, where are the other nine? Jesus is God. Folks, there's not a lot of things you can give God that he doesn't already have. Now, God says give your money, so don't use this against me when it comes time for the offering plate. But the streets of heaven are paved with gold. Here's some things God has from you that only you can give him. Your heart, your time, your service, your praise, and your thanksgiving. Do you know that? One of the things that you can give to God that he doesn't have is your thanksgiving. And it blesses the heart of God when we're thankful. And by the way, God's so deserving, isn't it? Be specific. Spend time daily. Spend time Thursday. Thank God throughout the day. Thank him. Here's a second thing. It surely blesses other people. Man, you think about this. Go back with me 2,000 years ago. Paul in this letter is fixing to rebuke them. He's fixing to correct them. But before he does, he says, let me tell you how thankful to God I am for you. I thank God for you. I'm telling you I thank God for you. I'm bragging on you. Here's the things I'm thankful for about you. He's specific. Don't you know how that helped them? Man, they were discouraged. They're being persecuted. And now, God, through Paul, is saying to them, I am thankful for you. Do you know how that had to help them? You know how it blesses people when you thank them? It always helps to flip the table to understand things. You know how it feels when people are ingrates towards you? It's not real rewarding, is it? Ronald Reagan was one of our presidents, president from like 80 to 88. And when Ronald Reagan was a young man in college, he was a lifeguard one summer. And his biographer says that during the course of that summer, he pulled 81 people to safety. Now, that doesn't mean every one of them were on the brink of death. But they were in a dangerous spot, and some of them probably were going to die, and he saved them. Out of 81 people, guess how many came back to thank him? Zero, none, nada. That shook Reagan. And the rest of his life, he tried to write thank you notes and to be overly zealous in being grateful to other people. You know it blesses you when people thank you. I can't make them thank you. I can't make them thank me. But what you and I can do is be grateful people, can't we? If some of you wrote a note to some people this week, they might end up in the hospital with heart failure. But they'd have a smile on their face. Shock them. Break out of your zone. We pass out criticism and advice freely. We pass out praise and thanksgiving like it's a $100 bill. Stop it. You bless people when you thank them. But let's get selfish just for a moment. It surely blesses you. It surely blesses you. Write these passages down, if you would. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We're not going to look at it on the screens, but in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, I'm paraphrasing, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving with petitions, present your request to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard, like a military garrison, guard your hearts and minds. Theology people and psychology people believe that the tie-in to not worrying and to peace is not only praying, but thanking. And modern neuroscience is showing us that over and over and over. Listen, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, when it says, give thanks in all circumstances, it not only is the right thing to do, but God knew the effects that this would have on you and me. The book, this has, what a great title, The Carrot Principle. The Carrot Principle talks about happy employees at one point in the book. 94% of employees who said they were happy, they listed several things, but one of the key things that they said they were happy at their job is they felt appreciated. It blesses them. It certainly is going to benefit your workplace if your workplace is a happy, thankful place. I read this week in USA Today, they don't always get everything right, but they did here. Happy marriages are marriages where people feel appreciated. You don't feel appreciated in your marriage, it can take a bad turn pretty quickly. Neuroscience, that's brain science, is starting to show us so many great things about our minds and how our minds are changeable and adaptable and can heal. Our brains can. So wonderful. I read an article where these doctors, one of them is a psychiatrist in California, were doing SPECT scans. A SPECT scan is kind of like a specialized MRI, and they can do it on different parts of your body. They're doing it on the brains to find the effects of gratitude. And a psychologist named Nolie Nelson agreed to be the subject. Now listen to what she did. They had her, for about 30 minutes before the SPECT scan, think about all the things she was grateful for, all the blessings in her life. Relive them, thank God, be thankful. Then they put her and did the SPECT scan on her brain for 30 minutes. The whole time she's thinking about how thankful she is. She got out of that. They could tell the blood flow to her brain and the health of her brain was wonderful. A week later, she comes back, and before she gets in, they tell her, think about all your problems. Think about everything negative and bad you can think about. Did that for 30 minutes, got in, did it for 30 more minutes. They said you could literally see parts of her brain shrinking during that SPECT scan, and blood not going to certain parts of the brain. Can you imagine what that does to your brain week after week, year after year? That's why some of us are small-brained, amen? We're ingrates. I want to share with you an article, and I would love to share with you so much more, but obviously we have T-I-M-E problems here. Robert Emmons is a professor and a researcher. He talks about the gratitude on us. Clinical trials indicate the practice of gratitude has a dramatic effect on a person's life. It can lower blood pressure, improve your immune function, facilitate more efficient sleep. University of California, San Diego's medical school said people who practice gratitude have a better heart health, less inflammation, and healthier heart rhythms. They sleep better, they're less depressed, and gratitude has the opposite effect of stress. In fact, the stress hormone cortisol is about 23% lower in people who are grateful. And being grateful daily, in other words, the practice of gratitude, could actually reduce the effects of aging to the brain. Do I need to sell you any more on this? Do you remember the beautiful old song, Count Your Many Blessings, name them one by one, and it will amaze you. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. I want to start this morning, if you're not a Christian, I want to start with you. If you're not a believer in Christ today, I want to challenge you to give your life to Jesus. I can promise you, I'll bet everything I have, 1,000 years from now, you'll be thankful for this decision. 1,000,000 years. When we stand, you come today and give your life to Christ. Or you meet me after church at this door over here at the depot, you talk to one of the ministers. But you give your life to Christ today. Maybe you're looking to join our church. We would love for you to. You can do that after church, or you can come and do that when we stand in a moment. Listen, we're a church that wants to deal with the hardest issues of life, but look for joy and look for gratitude. And if that's what you're looking for, come join us. You're a Christian today. Some of you are doing very well with this. Keep it up, because the devil's always trying to derail you. Keep it up. Some of us aren't doing well. And we need to repent of this today. If you're looking at pornography, you're abusing alcohol, I would tell you to repent. If you're an ingrate, I'm going to tell you this morning, you need to repent. Where you're standing or at the altar. Maybe when we stand for the invitation, Christian, you want to come and get on your knees and not only get right with God, maybe you just want to thank God for how He's blessed you. Or pray with a minister. I want to give you permission today when we stand. If you see somebody in here who's blessed you, go to them. You can do that during the invitation. We don't care. And thank them for how they blessed you. But Christian, make a commitment to a lifetime, a face-to-face with God and others, of gratitude. Let's stand. You come now as we sing.